السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings on His noble messenger, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in beneficial knowledge and to benefit us in a way that we can worship Him as He deserves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to let our hearts swerve from the right path after He has guided us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance. Mm-hmm. Ameen. So we have been going over some of the tafasir of Surah Ar-Rahman, the 55th Surah of the Quran. And we finished last time on ayah number 28-29. And again, as a reminder for myself and for all of those who are here, that this is the only surah which has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, and the whole ayah is, the first ayah is Ar-Rahman. The surah starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will end with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first reminds us of some of His signs, some of His favors, His ayat in the dunya. And then He asks this question over and over again, فَبِأَيَّ عَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord will the two of you, the men and jinn, deny? And this is repeated 31 times, and we'll talk about that towards the end. So we finished that portion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His signs in the heavens and in the earth and the oceans and all of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to take our attention to the Day of Judgment, a few ayats to do with the Jahannam, and then a lot of ayats to do with the Jannah, the paradise. So the last ayah that we stopped is يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whatever, whoever is in the heavens and the earth. Now if you try and just imagine that, we will never be able to imagine that, because we don't know what exists. Not just even in the earth, in the oceans, in the heavens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything that's in the heavens asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Normally, who is in the samawat? Samawat is full of, who are the inhabitants of the heavens?
Angels.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even the angels, who we don't think that they need anything, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. So everyone is in need. How do they ask? Some ask by their tongues, some ask by their ahwal. Not everybody asks. And in what languages do they ask? Every language that exists. If you're just taking mankind, even in the Indian subcontinent, there are over 1,000 dialects. And if you take all the languages, there are billions of people asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something at the same time, in different languages, in different time zones, for different needs. That's just the human kinds. And the jinn kinds are asking. And the animals are asking. And the angels are asking. And the fish are asking. So there is, we can't even imagine. And it doesn't say, you know, the trees may be asking in their own languages. The ants are asking. The bees are asking. Everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything is an umam, is a nation in itself. You don't know their languages. So just imagine the signals going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of requests. And that's when people express. And then there are those who don't even ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the condition of somebody who's not asking. Allah wants, He knows what He needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fulfilling all of that. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. So every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of this, everything that's going on, in the most beautiful way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you will, taking care of it, like something that changes every second, and every day is different. Because if somebody's asking something, if the situation's changed, every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of everything and everyone. And it's not just from today, from the day He created it till the day He ends it, He will take care. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Means what He wants will happen. And in that will come giving hidayah to people, guidance to people, giving health to people, giving relief to people, giving challenges to people. All of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, and that's what He does. Then after that, again, that same, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Therefore, when you imagine all of this, then think, which of the favors of Allah can be? This, even just in this one ayah, there are so many. If you multiply those favors, it's something that's unimaginable, uncountable. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifts us from this dunya to the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. This is talking about the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we shall soon attend to you, take care of you. We will be calling you to a day of judgment. That Allah will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will, if you will, make Himself available, although He is available all the time anyway. أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ, O you two heavy groups. Who are the two heavy groups? The surah talks about lot of these and lot of those. Who are they? Who is the surah addressing? Jinn and men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you two heavy groups, O you two large groups, soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we will gather you for a day of judgment. In other words, don't think that Allah is too busy, because the previous ayah of taking care of all of this, that He does not have time for you. He's always available, as you know. He's always there. But here specifically, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free Himself particularly to attend to the judgment, if you will. Although Allah doesn't need to be freed, because He can handle all of those together. Okay. So, in this ayah is also an implied warning that the day of judgment is coming, therefore you better be prepared. Why only mankind and jinn kind? Why not everybody else? Yes, because these are the two creations that chose to have a choice. Allah gave this choice to the mountains and the angels and the heavens, and they all said, no, they were smarter. They said, no, we will listen, we will just obey. But man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he was jahil. So he said, we'll take care of it, we will handle it. So this is the consequence of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that yes, there is going to be a day of judgment. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now how does this, if you reflect, I said before that we should use this as an exercise after every one of these ayahs. How does فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ relate to that? Anybody have any reflections on this? Allah is saying, soon we will call you for a day of judgment. We will gather you, mankind and jinn kind. How does فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ fit with that? You can take that, that this is a warning, so that's a favor that you better prepare for it. What else? For the believers, It's a bashara that, you know, now, because this world is a world of toil, you know, it's of suffering and pain, and no matter what you do, you know, somebody's unhappy, you know, and, you know, it ends. Everything here is fani, it's to be destroyed. So the fact that Allah is reminding there is a day of judgment, that should give a little bit of apprehension, but a lot of joy and something to look forward to the believers. And finally, we will be separated from the disbelievers, and we will, Allah will show what our real worth was, because we were people of Tawheed, you know, as opposed to the people in the world who deny and who have all the luxuries in the world. Now that reality will come out. So in a way, that's, you know, another way of looking at it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ma'ashir al-jinni wal-insi in istata'tum an tanfudu min aqtari samawati wal-ard fanfudu la tanfuduna illa bisultan. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you gatherings of mankind and jinnkind, if you can penetrate through, if you can go through the spheres of the heavens and the earth, the skies, if you can go through, then do so. It's a challenge in a way, and he says, and you will not be able to do so. In other words, if you want to go to the second heaven, without Allah's authority, you cannot. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his mi'raj, from the first heaven to the second, he came to a gate. And the angels asked Jibreel alayhi salam, who is with you? He said, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Has he been called? In other words, has he been authorized to enter? He said, yes. That's. So nobody is allowed without Allah's permission. So Allah says, you will not. So don't think that this means, okay, you know, we landed on the moon, we've penetrated through this, you know. No, you are just traveling in this small space here. Even if you reach Mars and things, it's a small little thing. But can Allah allow us to go to? Yes, he said, illa bi sultan, only by his permission, by his command. But some of the mufassirun have said that this is also related to the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, mankind and jinnkind, you will not be able to run away anyway on that day. Okay? Allah's permission has to be granted, so you cannot run and escape anyway. You will not be able to go anywhere. So you can take it both ways, that it applies to the day of judgment, it also applies us here. But sometimes when we use these, we should be careful not to put scientific things from the Quran to say, well, this is what it is, because science theories change. And if you say, oh, this the Quran ayah means this, well, that might change. Then you say, oh, the Quran ayah is wrong. No, don't, this is a generalization. Don't make it specific that, oh, by this ayah Allah meant this. We don't know. Okay, so just take it at its face value. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So even if you take it from the worldly perspective, that the fact that Allah doesn't allow us to penetrate, we don't know what you're going to get into. You know, how many space accidents have happened? How many more will happen now that they're opening it up? And then beyond that, you know, what might happen? And if he allows us to penetrate this, to learn more about his qudra and his, that also is a favor. So both ways, whether he allows it or he doesn't allow it, it's a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُعَادٌ مِّن نَارٌ وَنُحَاسٌ فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you try and penetrate these, because we are told from the hadith that before the revelation of the Quran, the jinns, not men, but jinns had the permission to go through from one heavens to the other. So they used to go to the highest level and listen, some of them, what's happening, what's coming down from, you know, Mala'ul A'la, from those. So that's why they knew about certain things. And those were the ones who would come to their friends, you know, and give them things about the future, you know, fortune tellers and all. So when Allah revealed the Quran, he sealed the heavens to the jinns. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Mulk. That when they try and penetrate that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the angels throw stones at them. Those stones are called meteors. So when you see that meteor running across, some jinn tried to penetrate and they were chased away by that. You know, like a dog who comes, you throw a stone and he runs away. So that's the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yursalu alaykuma. whether you are mankind or jinnkind, too, Kuma, you, will be sent on you, what? Shwadam minnar, a fiery flame. That's what it looks like. You know, those meteors are red hot. You know, they are just fire. When nuhas is molten copper and brass. So actually, if you look at what is in the core of these things, what's in the core of the earth is molten things, you know, what we call lava. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be thrown at you. So, فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانَ, and you will not be helped. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes more into the day of judgment. He says, فَإِذَا شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانَ. On the day when the skies will be torn apart, like you tear a piece of paper, okay? And we've covered this in some of the earlier sessions about is a sama'un fatarat and so on and so forth, about the same thing about Allah will change existence of the heavens. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَإِذَنْ شَقَّةِ الشَّقَّةِ means to tear and rent asunder, the sama'. And فَكَانَتْ, it will become وَرْدَةً كَدِّهَانَ. Warda is like a rosy flower, red. I don't know how many of you were up just before Fajr, between Fajr, before the sunrise this morning, and who had the privilege of looking out of their window at the eastern. This, it was a translation of this ayah. And I did take a picture of it, but I can't show you till after because it's on that camera. So if you remind me, I will show you the picture. It says, when the heavens will become like red rose, and it will be like it's burning and flowing oil. It will be a scene that we cannot, the color we can imagine, because sometimes we see those colors in the sky, but it will look like it's just flowing. Means everything that we know and identify with will be changed. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. Then on that day, لَا يَسْأَلُ, ins, mankind and jinn will not be asked. Now what does that mean? Because elsewhere we read, in the Quran it says, on that day everyone will be asked, right? Here it says, on that day, neither mankind nor jinnkind will be asked.
They won't have a choice in.
That's the day before judgment, like finally when we will be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So we know certain places that we will be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that nobody will be allowed to talk in Surah Naba till Allah gives permission. Now, we know it's a day of judgment. So, what is meant here will not be asked is, what did you do? Because it is already recorded. And where is it? It's hanging in your neck. Your whole life's record is going to hang in your neck like a little locket. You know, like a drive in which all the records are. So there is nothing to ask. It's already there. If we read Surah Kahf, they will see their book. This is Maili Hadal Kitab. What kind of book is this? La yugadiru sagiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. The man will look at, everyone will look at their own books and say, what kind of record is this? It has not skipped anything, small or big. So there's nothing to ask. It's already recorded. Okay. So we will come in front with our records. There's nothing to be asked. But Allah is reminding us that, because there are hadiths where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, do you deny any of this? Can you imagine being asked that question? That's a question. Do you deny any of what's recorded here? Because if anybody denies, what's the next step? Next step is mouth and tongue will be sealed. And then what will speak?
Yes.
Allah will command the parts of the body of the person. You tell us what happened. And then the person will say to the parts, you are testifying against us? You did all of these, we say the truth. Because of you, we are in this predicament. So, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we will come there. There's not going to be any attorney representing us. There'll be no clever arguments. There'll be nothing like that. Nothing will be hidden. Every single thing, every single word, every single action, every single glance recorded, it's right there. What is there to ask? Anzambihi. They will not be asked about their sins. Okay? Because it's all recorded. Some have said that this also relates with the next ayah, which is يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Mujrim, the criminals, the disbelievers, the sinners will be known. Arafa, known. Mujrimun, بِسِيمَاهُمْ, by their faces. In other words, here, a person can look very pious and he is a sinner. A person may look like nothing and he may be very righteous. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the faces so the signs of your actions will show. For example, the people who did salah, their portions, the seven areas, the face, the hands, knees, feet, will be glowing. The believers will be glowing in the areas where the water of wudu touched. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fi asarith sujood, on their seemahum fi asarith sujood, there will be a light coming out of the forehead which used to go down in sajda. So believers will be known, you will know, you know, there's light glowing here, there's glowing here, glowing here. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the disbelievers will, their faces will be darkened. And they'll be looking dusty and they'll look humiliated. So they will be known by their faces. Because you look at the person, I mean, even in this dunya, when you see somebody so happy and you see somebody so sad and down, just by the faces, on that day it will be known. So some have said that because the faces of the guilty will tell the story, there's nothing to ask. Okay, and then what will happen? فَيُؤْخَذُ, they will be grasped by nawasi. Nawasi is the hair in the front of the hair. You know, grab here, and aqdam, by the feet. Who is going to do the grabbing? Who's going to grab these bad people?
Angels.
The angels. To do what? To drag them either on their faces or on their thing. And they will need to be dragged. Why? They're not going to go happily into the hellfire. They'll try and just dig in their heels or do something and they will be dragged. There's no choice into the hellfire. يُخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِ وَالْأَقْدَامِ. So when you're, it also shows a sign of humiliation. If both are grabbed, a person is bent, you know. And angels are angels, you know. If they grab you by the feet and you're not going anywhere, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that people like that will be grabbed and dragged and thrown into the hellfire. فَبِأَيَّا لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. How does this fit? How does this fit? And which of the favors of your Lord?
This is giving the warning.
That's a warning, but there's another way of looking at it. That this will be said to those people being dragged into Jahannam. Which of the flavors of your Lord do you deny? In that state, it will be said to them. Of course, no answer is expected. It will be said to them to humiliate them as a reprimand that you had all these favors and you ended up like this. Okay. Do you deny anything now? Obviously not. You denied it in the dunya. I said, no, it's our smartness. We are scientists. We are this, we are that. You know, this is, you're promising us gardens in the heavens and there is, you know, no, I don't believe in this, or hellfire, or Allah doesn't need to punish anybody. We deny all of those because of our logic and we think we are so smart. And that day they will say, so it can be used both in the dunya and as a statement that will be said to humiliate the people being shown in being thrown in Jahannam. And then once they are brought there, what will be said? Hadihi Jahannam. This is Jahannam. As they are being Hadihi Jahannam allati yukadibu bi al-mujrimun. The Jahannam that you used to deny, oh you criminals, you said it didn't exist. You thought these are fairy tales. You said these are stories of the old. Who knows who said this? People have made this up to scare people. This Hadihi Jahannam. And this is on the day of judgment. They have not yet entered because they are being dragged. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, we have to know this, when we are gathered there, Jahannam Ati Jahannam. Jahannam will be brought. It will come there and it will have 70,000 leashes. Because Jahannam can identify the criminals who belong in there, the sinners who belong in there, the disbelievers. So Jahannam is roaring to grab them. Doesn't want to wait till the judgment to finish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put restraints on Jahannam, something to hold it back. You know, like you have your ferocious dogs that are ready to eat people and you have them on leash. Sometimes they are big, they are very hard to hold them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Jahannam will have 70,000 leashes. And for each leash, there will be 70,000 angels trying to hold back the Jahannam. Wait, 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 let the judgment take place. No, let me grab these people. You think the angels are weak? No, they are not. 70,000 of who? You know, for those angels, the distance between the earlobe and the neck, you know how much, and the shoulder, you know how much it is? If you walk for 500 years, that's the distance. That's the size of the angels. If you walk 20 miles a day, multiply that by 365, that's 1 year, multiply that by 500, that's the distance just from year to year. 70,000 of those, just imagine that size, okay, holding back Jahannam. Now we read Surah Mulk, this is mentioned right there. Tamayyizu min al-ghayr, it will be angry, wanting the Jahannam to take those who disobeyed Rabbul Alameen. Hadihi Jahannamu alladhi yukadhibu biha al-mujrimun. Now, just an aside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the criminals who deny Jahannam. They deny by their tongue. They say, oh no, there's no such thing. But there are other ways of denying Jahannam too. Not by your tongue. How do you deny that?
Action.
That you're doing actions of the people of Jahannam. And you say, yeah, there is Jahannam. You're killing people. You know killing people is going to end you in Jahannam. You're disobeying Allah. Right and left. All actions of Jahannam. You say, yes, there is Jahannam. There is Jahannam. But we can also deny it by the reality, the haqiqah of our actions. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who believe in this Jahannam and prepare for it by being really scared of it. يَطُوفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ أَهْ. So these people will then, يَطُوفُونَ. What does يَطُوفُونَ mean? You go for Umrah and Hajj, what do you do? Tawaf. They will go around. Yatufuna. They will be going between the two. Between what? On one side, when they're put in Jahannam, there's going to be the fire. That's burning everything outside. So they run in another direction where there is Hamim. There are boiling, bubbling, foul water, liquid, you know, pus. Feces of the people boiling out. So they run to that to protect it, try to drink. Give me something to drink. If you can drink that. And then they see that when they drink, it burns them on the inside. It makes the faces dissolve and then the skin comes back. So they run from there. This is worse. They run back to the hellfire and say, no, this is worse. Back and forth and back and forth. Scary, isn't it? You scared of Jahannam? I am. It's very, very scary. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Again, that can be taken as the angels at that time telling them, you denied, do you deny? Now you see this. And for us, the fact that Allah has made Jahannam so clear, He has given us such a clear picture and descriptions in the Quran and through the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that people should never even think of doing things that lead to Jahannam. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds of that is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go to the nicer part, which is Jannah. The interesting thing here is, in whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally in the Quran mentions Jannah, paradise, and Jahannam, fire, He describes both, and fairly in a balanced way, you know, this and this. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Jahannam in 3 or 4 ayahs. And the next 40 ayahs, or 30 ayahs, are to do with Jannah. So it's an imbalanced description. 3 or 4 ayahs of Jahannam and 30 to 40 ayahs of Jannah. Why? Ar-Rahman. Because we are, the surah is called Ar-Rahman, the merciful. So where is Allah's mercy? What represents Allah's mercy? Jahannam or Jannah? Paradise. What do you think Allah's gift is? Is it paradise or hell? Paradise. So Ar-Rahman, the gift of Allah, of Ar-Rahman, is to talk about paradise, paradise, paradise. But to keep the balance to some degree, he mentioned the Jahannam in a few ayahs. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. And for the one, خَافَ, who was scared of standing in front of his Rabb, جَنَّةً. There are two gardens, not one Jannah, but two. لِمَنْ خَافَ, the one who was afraid, مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, has two meanings. Standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is the maqam of Allah. You know, who is Allah? He is afraid of who is Allah, therefore he behaved in that. Now, what does it mean? Khafa, he was afraid of standing in front of Allah. What would a person do who is afraid of standing in front of Allah? How would his life be? Anytime he thinks of doing something wrong or sinning, he would remember, I have to stand in front of Allah. Therefore, it stops him. Okay. So that feeling of being in front of Allah is also called ihsan. Remember? Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see him, to be always aware of Allah. So all the time, the person, whenever he feels of like he was on the verge of disobeying Allah, he remembers, I'm standing in front of Allah. He goes fast forward. I can't do this. Right? So he would lead this person or she would lead their lives in a way that would be in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life of virtue, of goodness. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for a person like that and all the people like that, there are two gardens. Now, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say garden, Jannah? Jannatan means two gardens. For each person, two gardens. Did you know that? That all of you are going to get two gardens? Oh, Jannah, Jannah. One. Jannatan. So, there are various interpretations of this. All of which can be correct. Some said, one Jannah for your belief. What you believed in. One for your actions. Okay, for the actions you did. Some said, one Jannah for obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one Jannah for withholding from sinful acts. Some said one has to do with the person himself and one Jannah for their spouse. Some have said one has to do with how they were spiritually ruhani and one for the jasad, for the bodily things. So there are many descriptions that scholars have come up with. I was reflecting on it and I had my own little reflection. I said, this is Surah Rahman, Allah's generosity. Allah doesn't, he's so generous, he doesn't just, he's not satisfied with just giving you one. He says two, minimum. And then Allah can gives you 10 times and more times. But just as being Ar-Rahman, Jannatan too. Okay. But those are some of the other things that each one of us, inshallah, by Allah's rahmah, will be given to Jannah. فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. And that's where you will, and I will appreciate the favors of Allah. Because ultimately the favor of Allah in this dunya is what translates there. And also, there's a lot we can reflect. I want to finish this, so I'm going to go through this and we can maybe cover some of these things in the Q&A.
Zawata afnan.
So he's saying that these gardens will have afnan. Afnan means branches, which are the best of branches, because branches give you what? They give you shade. They beautify the trees. See that how the trees look now and how they look when they are covered with leaves. And they will be laden with fruits. So they imagine trees in Jannah with beautiful leaves that give you shade. If you ever needed shade, shade has symbolic, because it's not going to be like sun shining in your face like it's over here where you need sunglasses, because Allah says it's not hot, not cold, not it's shaded in a way, in its own way. Do you know what the tree trunks are made in Jannah? Since we're talking about trees and branches, do you know what the tree trunks are made? Anybody? Gold. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no tree in Jannah whose trunk is not made of gold. And their leaves are like jewels. They're not like what we see here. Beautiful. And in one narration it says, in its own way, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is written on every leaf. Such as, for example, if there is a pattern that reads La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Okay. And I can show that to you in the leaves here already. Okay. When we were in India, there's a tree called the peepal tree. You can take a leaf, it's a leaf like this, you put it in water for a few days, it rots. And then all the parts fall off. When we were small, we used to do this. And only the veins are left. You take it out, you dry it. Now you look at the veins. My grandfather, maternal grandfather, Abba Saab, may Allah elevate his ranks. He then used to take a pen and highlight La ilaha illallah from the veins and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that. And then they used to be framed and they used to be put on the wall, I remember. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made leaves like that, and trees like that, which we can't imagine. Okay. Here we are just talking about the branches of the trees. Okay.
فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ.
And in these two gardens there are عَيْنَان. عَيْن is a river, a stream. Tajriyan, that are flowing freely. They don't dry up. You know, it's not like in season, out of season. And you know what, we've covered this before. What is flowing in is the purest of water of Jannah. Some of these rivers are made of milk that doesn't go bad. Some of them are made of special wine-like drinks that don't intoxicate you. Some of them are made of honey. And you know what the pebbles are on the shore? Rubies and pearls. We've covered this before in other surahs, you know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rivers. So those rivers are flowing through that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ
فِيهِمَا مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانِ.
And in these gardens are fruits of every type in pairs. And the two pairs don't look like each other. And the fruits over there have some resemblance, because Allah has used similar terms. They will look like the the pomegranate, and they will look like the date, and they will have some appearance of the apple and whatever else you can think of, and if you like mango, watermelon, whatever you want. Every type of fruit, what Allah has put here, many times more is over there. And they will not have seeds. They will not have, you know, something that needs to be peeled and all of that stuff, you know. No work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every type, and the beauty of these are that they just resemble what, and they have their own unique taste. And the two are not going to be similar, which are in pair. And it is said that every bite of the same one will have a different unique taste. And the more you eat, the more tasty it gets, and you never get full. It's not like, oh, I've had enough. You never get full. And if you get full, there'll be a little burp which will taste, smell like musk, and that will relieve you. There's no going to the bathroom or anything over there. Okay? No filth in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for these, this first level of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing two levels of Jannah. This is the highest level of Jannah. Okay? The Sabiqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah that comes after that, Surah Waqia, that there will be three groups of people. People of Jahannam that we've talked about, and two groups that go into Jannah. The Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, the one who are in the forefront, the A-graders. The Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, who will be brought close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the real people. This level of Jannah that we are, these two levels of Jannah that, so there are two levels of Jannah, each has two gardens, remember that, okay? So we are talking about the higher level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, every kind of fruit, as much as you want. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And what are they doing? مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَىٰ فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. So people will be reclining on couches. We don't want to use the word sofas because it looks like sofa. No matter how you, even if you make this of solid gold, this is not going to compare with what you're going to be sitting on. Okay? So you will be sitting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, reclining. Muttakeena means like you've got some cushions on which you are reclining. Ala furushim bata'inuha min istabraqin. Who's, now the covering of this, bata'inuha has a lining. Okay, just imagine, you have something that's on the surface, and then underneath there is a lining. The lining is made of istabraq, which is the finest of brocade and of finest of silk with gold thread embroidered on it. That's just the lining. That's in, you know, the bottom of it. Now, Allah leaves to your imagination what is inside and what covers it. Obviously, if this is the if you want to say if it's like a shoe, if it's, this is the sole of the shoe, what the top is going to look like. So they are going to be reclining. So he describes that. وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. And Dan means close. So you're sitting here. There are all these branches with the fruits. You look at them and the fruits will come down to you within your reach. You think of anything you want. Say, I want, what's your favorite thing? Pizza? Chicken?
Bunnies.
Okay. You think of it, it will be brought to you. You don't have to make any effort. Yet Allah has servants for you, which I mentioned, who will be serving you, running around. Youth, young people, ageless, that Allah has created. Wildanum mukhalladun, to serve you if you need. But you just look at something, the tree knows the fruit. Which tree you, fruit you looked at, it will come down to you. Take it and eat it.
فَبِأَيَّا لَاي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. Now we come to ayah number 56. فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان.
So in these gardens, in these two gardens for each one, Allah has created mates, companions, okay, who have eyes only for the person who this Jannah belongs to, who will not, whose eyes are so guarded they don't look at anyone. They don't look for anyone. Their whole universe is the person who gets this Jannah. Guarded eyes. They have no eyes for everyone. There are songs here. You know, I have eyes only for you. That kind of. So these creatures that Allah has made, who we call Hurayn, for each one, they will have, their whole universe is the person there. لَمْ يَتْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمَّ No man, no jinn, no creature has even seen them. They're kept exclusively for you. Only for you. The Prophet ﷺ said that when I was shown Jannah, I was shown a palace. And outside the palace, there was a Hur'ain that was so beautiful that I wanted. Then I said, who is this? Does this belong to? So Jibreel alayhi salam said, it belongs to one of the Quraysh. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said, I assumed that would be me. So I started to move. Then Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the palace, the mansion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that is one of the hurs of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so I stopped, I didn't, knowing the ghira, the jealousy of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that that was his hur, I didn't even go near. Because people of normal fitrah, they don't want their wives mixing with everybody, and you know, they have that feeling that, you know, of possessiveness and of dignity, you know. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Ya Rasulullah, how could I have ghira with you? You should have gone. But this is because nobody's allowed to see them, touch them, anything. They are purely for that accident. Now imagine if a billion people get in there, each one will have two Jannah, and in each one, how many of these creatures that Allah has created? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are pure. They are only for each one exclusively. They are created only for you. Each one custom created for you. And there are many, many descriptions of these, which we won't have time to cover today, but if somebody is interested, we can talk about it afterward. And of course, people should be interested. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't describe much about them here. He says they are like Yaqut, which is the best of rubies. They're like jewels. Well, marjan, the color of coral, which is a whitish, pinkish color. That's been described. فَبِأَيَّا لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't describe anything about them except that they guard their own eyes. They have eyes for no one except who is coming. They are completely pure, untouched by anything. They'll be untouched by any impurity, untouched by any creatures, purely for the resident of that Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a hypothetical question. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Should not the reward for ihsan be ihsan? What does ihsan mean? The best. Shouldn't the best reward be for the best? And we know people of ihsan from that hadith of Jibreel. Those who lead their lives as if they see Allah. So they lead their lives. So one way of looking at it is you led a life of ihsan, the best you could do, which is imperfect as a human being. Now look at how Allah at his level of ihsan will deal with you. Look what he gives you in exchange. And the Prophet ﷺ also described that this also means that a person, he said, a person who I purified by the kalima shahada from all shirk, that is ihsan, that who took the shahada because of that, I invited them to that. For isn't for this person Jannah wajib? Isn't that ihsan to be done for this person? The ihsan of this person was to accept Islam. And the ihsan that Allah does for that acceptance is giving Jannah. Also, Hal jazaa al ihsani illa al ihsan also means that if you do that goodness, Allah gives you the ability to do that, the good deed itself. That itself is an ihsan. And when you do all of that, then Allah rewards you with the best. So the best, the better you do, the better your reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question. Shouldn't the reward be as beautiful and as magnificent as the action? The answer is, of course, yes, that's Allah's justice. But Allah is not just when He's giving Jannah. He's giving it out of His Rahmah. Ar-Rahman is giving out of His Rahmah. Because He's compensating you much more than what you deserve, even with the best of your actions. Okay. فَبِأَيَّ لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Because the Prophet ﷺ said, nobody will enter Jannah based on their actions. He said, not even you, Rasulullah, not even me. Except by Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah were to hold us in charge, hold us accountable for everything we did, we would never enter. So just remember that. This is just the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So this is description of A grade Jannah. Now we come to A minus grade Jannah, which itself, if we enter, alhamdulillah. Because Jannah is Jannah. It's, you know. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to aspire and ask for the higher level. The highest is, he said, Jannah, there are 100 levels, and the highest of it is Firdaus al-A'la. Ask Allah for that. You could ask, Ya Allah, give me the lowest level. Because even the lowest level we know is more than 10 times all the dunya, everything that it contains, and 10 times that. That's for the last person who's burnt to a crisp in Jahannam forever, and then finally, because he once said La ilaha illallah, is taken out and he's given that. Okay, after being purified. But he said, ask for that. So now we come to that second level, the level a notch below. That's all we'll say. وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ And there are, besides that, there are, for the next level, two jannas for each person again. So two jannas levels here. Level one, two for each. Level two, two for each. فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ So that nobody gets discouraged that, okay, you know, I'm never going to be among the muqarribuna. If you're a believer, you will get this Jannah. If you haven't done a lot, you've done some, inshallah, by Allah's mercy. Even a person who said once sincerely, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ will enter some level of this Jannah. Okay. مُدْهَامَّتَانِ مُدْهَامَّتَانِ means lush, dark green. Because whenever we talk about Jannah gardens, they generally have a green color. What are the two most common colors that we have in the, that we see around girls? Two most common colors. If you look up, what do you see? Not here, outside. Color of your hijab, blue. And then when you look around everywhere, what's the most soothing color you see around?
Green.
All kind, green, all the things that people, green. Allah says, dense green foliage. Allah says, مُدْهَامَّتَانِ فَبِأَيَّ لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ نَضَّاخَتَانِ Again, two streams that were flowing. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, two bubbly ones still come out. Those were free flowing, going all over the place, those rivers. Here they're bubbling out. So you will also have, we will also have this aynani naddakhatan, that keep bubbling out. فَبِأَيِّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانِ And in these two jannah, this level will also have fakiha. But he doesn't say kull, every. Rumman and dates, Allah mentioned a few. So in this, there is a little specification as opposed to open. That means there is some restriction. There's beautiful fruits here too, of every kind, some are mentioned. But it's a little notch below that. Okay, but still more than adequate for most of us. فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ In these, there are creatures who are good, khayratun, hisan, and beautiful. They are the ultimate of goodness, of beauty, and goodness. Again, talking about the hur al-ain. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان حور مقصورات في الخيام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here uses the word itself. He didn't in the first. Hur. Hur is a special creation that Allah has created. They're not angels. They're not jinns. They're not human beings. Special creation only in Jannah. Okay. Since nobody has seen them, nobody has touched them, we just have descriptions. Now, we put a gender on them. We call them female because in Arabic, there is male gender and female gender. There is no third gender. So we don't know what it is, but the gender is a feminine gender. So Allah has created those. حُرُمْ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْقِيَامِ. Khiyam means they are in khiyam. Khayma means, everybody knows what a khayma is? Like a tent. But the khayma of Jannah is made of pearl. They are not made of leather and fabric. And what is the size of the tent? The Prophet ﷺ said, 60 miles long, 30 to 60 miles high. This is one khayma, made of pearl. He said a person can have a family in each corner of his family and they will not know that the other exists. This is the khayma. So in the khayma, Allah has placed these companions for us. Hurun maqsuratun, that are secluded. Here, it's a past participle, that means passive form, that they are being held there. The first one, higher level, those hur, on their own, they kept their eyes down. Okay, it's a higher level. Here, they are being made to be secure for the people coming. Okay. Maqsuratun fil khiyam. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Again, لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان. Who no man, no jinn has touched before. Same criteria. Exclusively made for the resident who is going to come into this. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. متكئين على رفرف خضر وعبقري حسان. So, what same parallel situation? What are they doing? They are again reclining. Here, instead of those couches and sofas made of istabrak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are going to be rafrafin khudrun, abqarin. They are going to be in these beautiful green cushions that will be moved wherever they want to sit. Okay. Abqarin, there is a narration that abqari is a name of a place for the jinns, and that it was famous for the fine work that was done. So some have said that these are describing those carpets or things, whatever cover, these cushion covers, of being of the finest quality. Abqariyin hisan, beautiful. The finest cushions here is translated as finest carpets. فَبِأَيَّ لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, blessed be the name of your Lord. Tabarak, full of barakah, of blessing. Ismi Rabbik, the name of your Lord. Telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Dhil Jalali wal Ikram, the one who has Jalal, who is the owner of majesty, of might, of power, majesty. Wal Ikram, of generosity, of beauty, of grace. Allah has both. When we study the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should study them all because they all integrate. Some people, even among the Muslims, take it, oh, Allah's Ghafoor al-Rahim, you can do whatever you want because He's full of mercy, He'll forgive. But He's also Shadidul Iqab. Allah has described Himself in different ways. He is Jabbar, He is Qahhar, He is Muntaqim. So you have to take it balanced. Yes, He is Rahman and Rahim and Ghafoor and Afoor, Kareem. But He is this also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, He is Kareem. Dhul Jalali wal Ikram means the ultimate of Kareem, of generous and full of grace. But don't just say that. Remember, it's not because He can't. He has the majesty. He has the power to punish. Yet He decides to grant forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah with his attributes of Jalal, started with Ar-Rahman, ended with Akram, Zal Jalal wal Ikram. Okay. Beginning is Allah, end is Allah. That is for everything. Before the universe, there was Allah. In the end, and universe is ended, there is Allah. For us, we are servants of Allah. Our life should be serve Allah. Allah should be in the center of our lives at all time. And our lives should circumambulate around Allah's commandments. Just like when we go for Hajj and Umrah, what are we doing? We are going around what symbolizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba, Baytullah. We are saying, Ya Allah, we are here. We are here in obedience, doing what you told us to do. We should be in that same tawaf in all of our lives, on the orders and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do should be weighed. What does Allah want from me? What is Allah pleased with? Okay. And I lead my life like that. Then I can expect and I can be sure that Ar-Rahman will treat me with his rahmah and generosity. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that when you make dua, call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names, Ismul Adam, and he also said, among those, he said, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, O owner of might and grace. Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. He said, keep calling him by those. So when in your dua, when you, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, call him by his names. Okay. And after every salah, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha tells us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, what? After he finished salah, what would he say? After astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram tabarakta ya dhal. Same, this what this ayah ends with. Okay, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this reality for us of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, make us realize and show gratitude for his favors. This is a great favor that we finished Surah Rahman and we've inshallah understood and internalized it, that we take his favors and use his favors to please him, that we make our journey to him so that when we stand maqama rabbihi in front of him, we are not afraid, that Allah doesn't ask us, what did you do? What did you? He enters into Jannah bi ghayri hisab. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he used to ask at night many times, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. O Allah, give me a hisab on the day of judgment, hisaban yaseera, the easy accountability. So our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what is hisaban yaseera, easy accountability? He said, Ya Aisha, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to question you about anything, you're doomed. Hisab and Yasira is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to him, doesn't ask anything. Let's go to Jannah. That's what we want. Doesn't bring up anything that we have done, good or bad. Because even if you brought us, suppose, example, Ya Allah, can I ask, Ya Allah, bring my salah. Let's see the quality of my salah. I would be embarrassed. Even to show my good deeds, because they're not worth anything. So, hisab and yasira. Ya Allah, your rahmah. Narju rahmatak. Narju rahmatak. Your rahmah, enter me into Jannah. Enter me in your rahmah. Don't leave me to myself. La takilni ila nafsi tarfatayn. Even for a moment, don't leave me to myself. Because I will make a mess of my life. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his rahmah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment and to be given the water of Kawthar which flows through Jannah from his noble hands, and that Allah grant us Firdaus al-A'la. Ya Allah, we are not asking you min dunihima jannatan, we want wa liman khafa maqama rabbihi, the first level. And in that, the highest level. We want the Jannah whose ceiling is Arshur Rahman. So if we reflect on this, our life perspective changes. Then we don't run after things that are, no matter how good they are, they're just temporary. And they're not good. So let's aspire for this. My goal is to have sessions only on Jannah. So one of our great scholars about 6-7 centuries ago, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, has written what would be considered some of the best descriptions of Jannah in a book, on the title of which is Hadi al-Arwah ila Bilad al-Afrah, the guiding of the souls to the land of eternal happiness. So it's his almost 400 pages descriptions of Jannah from Quranic ayats and the ahadith of the Prophet. So anyone who has shauq for Jannah, and I hope you all have, because we are beautifying our gardens outside, put fertilizer here, trim this here, trim that here, trim this rose, I want a rose bush. It's okay, but this is a different level. Let's aspire for this, spend our time for this. So read those so that that shock develops, that this is what I want. I'm not looking for $1 billion, next billionaire, because there are diamond dozen, there are 2,305 billionaires in the world, as of Forbes magazine last week. It's a big deal. Even then, you're not unique. I want this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Ashab al-Jannah, so people who truly follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who internalize this, who actualize this in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our host and all the beautiful companionship, our sohbah of people who come to learn about our huda, our guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.